there are challenges to having children. And there are challenges that as a parent you anticipate having. You think, well, I'm going to be a parent, and when the babies are smaller, they're going to cry at night. You expect that. That's going to come. You expect that when the teenagers come along, they're going to test you a little bit. Because you did that to your parents, let's be honest. That's just normal, right? The part about parenting that sometimes we're not anticipating is the homework. I gotta say, as a parent, my kids bring home homework, and I usually think I'm a pretty sharp character until I start helping them with their homework. And I'd like to say that I don't have much problem with Abby's, because Abby is 10 years old, but that is not the case. She was working on her math, and my wife wasn't nearby, which is always a bad thing, because my wife's a professional educator. And I can usually just say, talk to your mom. But Abby was like, I'm trying to do this problem, I'm not sure I'm getting the right answer. I was like, okay, what is it? She says, well, it's, you know, 235 times 316. I was like, oh, I know how to do that. I can do that. So I'm like setting up the problem, like 235 and 316, and draw a line of X. She's like, no, Dad, not like that. We have to do it lattice style. I was like, lattice style? What is lattice style? She said, well, first you draw a box, and then you separate the box into 9 equal parts, and then you have to draw diagonals through all the different boxes. Then you write some of the numbers up the side, some of the numbers across the top. You multiply some of them this way and some of them that way. Then you add them this way, and then you move the numbers on the left over to the right. You move the numbers on the right over to the left. You put it together, and you get the answer. I was like, sure, easy, I got that. I'm like, I don't know why you need my help with this, because I am not going to be of any use. I am done. I was with you through draw a box. After that, I was lost. They call it new math. Technically, it's Common Core math. But as a parent, I am not prepared for new math. I am good with old math. You give me a math problem, I can do it. New math, not my thing. And unfortunately, now my 10-year-old's bringing me math homework I can't do. So I have one of two choices. I can either wait on my wife to show up, because she's really good at that stuff, or I can go to the internet, because that's the source of all information. I can watch a YouTube video on how to do it, and I'll probably retain that information exactly as long as it takes me to help my daughter with her homework, because then it's right out of my brain. Because new math is totally different. And I gotta tell you, I sort of figured numbers were numbers. And the funny part is, when you look at the new math, I can find pieces of the old math in it. I'm like, oh, I recognize that piece. I can do that. My wife and I like a comedian, and he's talking about new math. You may have heard him. He says, new math's sort of like if somebody knocks on your front door, and you open the front door, and it's your friend. You want to invite him in, but you're like, oh, you can't come in through the front door. That's the old way. Some people still do it. I still do it, but you have to do it the new way. So I want you to go around the side of the house. I want you to jump the fence, swim through the pool, come in through the back door, cross through the house, and meet me back here at the front door. That's the new way we get in my house. That's new math. And I got to tell you, I understand that conceptually speaking, Common Core math is designed to teach children to understand how math works. Because frankly, in high school, we were taught that math was magic. You just followed whatever the formula was, and as long as you did the numbers right, it came out, and you never asked why. Why does this work? How does this work? You just knew that it worked, and you did it, and it worked, and you were good. The new math is designed to teach kids to understand how these things work, and God bless the teachers for doing it, and I hope it works out great, and our children are fantastic at science, technology, engineering, and math. That's what we're aiming for. So good for them. I can't. Now, I would like to say that this is a new thing, but it's not a new thing. See, when Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he is talking to Peter about the question of forgiveness, the problem is, Peter knows old math. Old math in the Jewish faith and tradition worked this way. Forgiveness was something you earned. Forgiveness was something you either did or did not deserve. And if somebody did something wrong, there might be an exceptionally complicated way that you came around to forgive them. If somebody did something wrong and God was upset with them, the instructions might be really, really long and complicated. You know, God might be like, well, okay, you did that wrong, so I need you to go sacrifice this many sheep, this many goats, but if you can't have goats, I need this many pigeons. If you can't have pigeons, then I need you to do this and that, and at some point I might need you to cut your hair and burn it. That's a thing that happens in the Bible. And when you're all done, I want you to visit with the chief priest, and they're going to sprinkle some water on you, they're going to say a few words, they're going to have you publicly presented, and then you're going to be forgiven. And Peter's used to this. Peter's like, I understand how forgiveness works. It's hard. You have to earn your forgiveness. If somebody does something wrong to you, you have to forgive them, but it's going to take some time. And if I've done something wrong to God, it's really going to be a financial hardship for me. But in the end, I'm forgiven. He says to Jesus, how shall I understand this new way of looking at forgiveness? This new math that we're supposed to learn for forgiveness? And Jesus says, well, what's your question? He says, well, I'll give you a word problem here. How many times should I forgive my brother? And Jesus is like, as often as you need to. Peter's question is, when should I forgive my brother? Jesus, as often as he needs forgiven. Why should I forgive my brother? Now we're getting a new math, right? Why does this work? Jesus is like, look, I know this is confusing to you because you're used to old math where you had to earn your way into forgiveness. It's not the way the new kingdom works. It's not the way the new kingdom works. So he says, I'm going to teach you this story. Jesus' sermons were always stories. We call them parables. He says, once upon a time there was a man, and talents and drachma and denarii and all that, it doesn't make any sense in modern English. Let's just say he owes his boss $10 million. For all intents and purposes, that's where he's at. He owes his boss $10 million and he makes minimum wage. And his boss says, hey, look, I need you to pay up. I've got these things I need to do. I need some liquid capital. And the guy's like, $10 million? I work for you for the rest of my life, and I come back and I work for you the next 300 years. I'm still not going to pay you back. So, I'm sorry? And here's the amazing thing, is in the story, the Lord says to the slave, you're right. Yeah, if you had five lifetimes, you're never going to pay me back. You're forgiven. And the slave goes away, and he's not learned the new math yet, you know? He's still in the old math mode. And he comes across a guy that owes him a couple $100. He sees a guy who owes him a couple $100. He thinks, I could have a really nice weekend. He seizes the guy, and he says, you owe me a couple $100. Cough it up. The guy's like, oh, man, I am just broke right now. I can't help you. And the guy says, fine, well, you're going to go to debtor's prison where they're going to put you to work breaking rocks or whatever else they did at debtor's prison back then. And by the time you've paid me back out of what you have to do at debtor's prison, then I'll be satisfied. In the story, the Lord, and you know, whenever you read a parable where Jesus talks about a Lord, a king, a owner of a vineyard, you got to look at any of those stories and go, Jesus is talking about God. So when he says the Lord, he means the Lord, capital L. So the slaves go to the Lord and they say, hey, this guy that you just forgave $10 million has just thrown one of our friends in prison for a couple $100. And the Lord is upset because this is the new math. The new math works like this. Whatever it is that we've done, whatever it is that is wrong in our lives, whatever sin we've committed, whether it's against God or our neighbors or ourselves, because let's be honest, we commit a lot of sins against ourselves. That's human nature right then and there. Ooh, it's really hard to forgive ourselves, isn't it? That's a tough one. Because we talk to ourselves more than we talk to anybody else. I hope you all talk to yourself as much as you talk to everybody else, because that's what I do. I spend a lot of time talking to myself. So if you're angry with yourself, you just can't get away from it. You don't forgive yourself, you find it hard to walk away from. In the new math, all that we have done, every sin that we've ever committed, every single thing wrong was nailed to the cross with Jesus Christ. Bar none. Not a single one left unforgiven. All of what we owe the Lord is paid off. We're never going to deserve it. We're never going to earn it. That's old math. Old math. It's not going to ever come back again. We're never going to earn or deserve forgiveness. It's just given to us. That whosoever believes in Jesus Christ is forgiven wholly and completely. Now, there comes with that immense gift a burden. Because then if those of us who have been completely forgiven of all of our sins, every single thing we've ever done wrong in our lives, completely forgiven by Christ on the cross, without any action of ours required, we just have faith and believe that it was done. There is a burden on us to forgive one another. Because if we've been forgiven $10 million worth of sin, and somebody owes us $100 worth of sin, God's not going to be okay if we are merciless. Because we're supposed to be wholly and completely forgiven. We have this enormous, infinite bank of forgiveness to give. So Jesus teaches Peter the new math of the kingdom, wherein you are 100% forgiven, and you forgive 100% of those around you. And part of it is because that's righteousness. God has already done this thing. He explains it in that story, and it's partially for us. What does it benefit us, any one of us, to hold anger and hatred and resentment against someone who's done us wrong? I'm not saying that we don't exercise judgment in the sense that we don't understand reality. If somebody has consistently picked your pocket every time they see you, and you forgive them, you might want to then, next time you meet, keep your hand on your pocket. I mean, that's just common sense there, right? But you still forgive them. Because forgiveness is given to us completely. We give it completely. And in that, we are truly a part of God's kingdom. It makes all the difference in the world. So I say to you all as we gather together on this Sunday, don't be afraid of new math. Either the kind that your kids bring home in their homework, because it can be done, or in the kingdom of God, because it's already been done for us. We are completely forgiven. We haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. But we have a God who is gracious and loving, and he gives it anyway. Amen.